Minsk Tractor Plant neighborhood is a kind of a small town in the city inspired by the utopian ideas of the late 40s and early 50s. This area resembles a serene urban oasis brought to our times from the past. We invite you to have a virtual walk around it and listen to our reasons why we love this charismatic corner. At the beginning of the 20th century, mostly birds and small animals enjoyed peace and tranquility in the area of the future tractor plant. Surrounded by pine and birch forest, here on the southeastern outskirts of Minsk, there was a small village. It was called Bishop's Grove, or for some reason, the desert. The village was owned by Bishop Antonio Zubko, an agronomy and natural sciences enthusiast. The desert was actually a real Eden with a clean pond, fresh air, squat cob houses, and a fragrant orchard. As time went on, the flywheel of urbanization was gathering steam. The capital was expanding and absorbing new lands. The Bishop's Grove became a part of the city in the early 40s when a large-scale construction of an aircraft factory began near the village. It was planned that in the near future the factory would produce 3,000 heavy bombers per year. The colossal enterprise was supposed to be built and launched in only 365 days. Of course, all the forces had to be working at full capacity to live up to that record-setting timing. Day and night, in any weather, the object resembled a lively gigantic anthill. By June 1941, 10,500 people worked at the site. But the war prevented the construction from being completed. When Minsk was occupied, the German army used the buildings of the aircraft factory to repair its carriers. And after the war ended, the authorities decided to continue the construction in a more peaceful way. On the 29th of May 1946, the USSR Council of Ministers issued a decree stating that the plant would be assembling tractors instead of military fighter aircraft. In 1949, the first model of the wheel tractor was created. The plant's chief designer, Ivan Drong, gave it a proud name, Belarus. Later on, the legendary Minsk tractors went to the remotest corners of the planet to fulfill their agricultural duty, and even got into a banknote in Vietnam. Our tractor was depicted on a 200 dong bill, which has become obsolescent, but at the end of the 80s, it was still possible to buy something yummy with it. While the plant was being built, the residential district was growing nearby. It was planned to become a small workers' neighborhood, where one could find everything needed for a happy life and, of course, high-powered work. The neighborhood took in the best ideas and aspirations of the time. The project was supposed to make the dreams of the people who survived the war come true. Everyone wanted peace, beauty, comfort, and confidence in the future. The legendary Soviet architect Zinoviy Rozenfeld took part in the designing of the district. He also worked on the project of the main street of Minsk, Prospekt Nezalezhnosti. In 1946, the first residents moved into the fresh two-story buildings. The strict but cozy district seemed to be something completely new and unusual. There were beautiful houses with turrets and spires, fancy balconies and elegant stucco molding, mini parks with fountains, boulevards and front gardens. The streets were wide and the courtyards were spacious. Ateliers, shops, banks, cafes were opened in the first floors of the neoclassic buildings. In the post-war period, an ordinary working-class family could not get a full-fledged apartment, and most often received only a room in the house. Nevertheless, living in a new comfortable neighborhood was an ultimate dream. And it seems fair enough. Warm apartments with stove heating, the plant is just at hand, you can drop by the hairdressers on the way home after work, and in the evening you can play chess with a neighbor in the yard or go to a club. Today, this neighborhood is one of the most culturally and historically valuable of the capital. This authentic sample of post-war architecture full of hopes for a better future, which has survived to this day almost with no change, remains equally important and interesting for both Belarusians and foreign tourists. You better start exploring this wonderful part of the capital from the plant itself. All the roads of the neighborhood lead here. When you walk up the subway, you will see two tall towers with spires and a white stucco edging, vaguely resembling the famous gates of Minsk. This is the plant's gates and the checkpoint between them. There is a small park in front of the entrance. According to the city planner's idea, the plant workers' morning should certainly begin with a pleasant walk among the trees. Originally, they intended to lay out a shady park about 25 hectares wide, which would serve as a buffer zone between the enterprise and the residential sector. But later, the idea was dropped. Now, despite its modest size, this mini park is full of artifacts. An old fountain murmurs here, and the storks hover over it. Note that the old plant logo is depicted on the fountain. It's a small tractor created by artist Boris Malkin. There is also a real burgundy-colored tractor on the pedestal. That's how the first line of wheeled tractors produced by the enterprise looked like. Nearby, there is a white monument of a slender woman in an unusual headwear. Few people know that this is not an abstract female worker, but a real-life heroine of socialist labor. A member of the Stakhanov movement, the head of the tractor brigade, Praskovya Angelina. This energetic woman became one of the first tractor drivers of the Soviet Union, constantly improved the work of agricultural machines, and became famous for the slogan 100,000 girlfriends get on a tractor. In short, a kind of Captain Marvel of her time. Let's leave the park and turn our backs on the plant's entrance. Now we are looking at Dolhobrodskaya Street. The tractor plant neighborhood itself is right behind it. We'll go this way, without turning anywhere, from the entrance gate to the depth of the district, admiring its strict and majestic geometry, peering into the details. We are crossing Dolhobrodskaya Street through the underground walkway and heading for the Traktorobudovnikov Boulevard. This is the greenest part of the architectural arrow cutting the area in halves. Now we are at a real open-air museum. Despite the fact that some of the houses are painted weirdly and others are repaired in such a way that the stucco molding disappeared under the insulation, be patient and turn on the imagination. The neighborhood opens up only to an attentive viewer. The boulevard was designed and decorated so that it always has a holiday look and instills a cheerful mood in the plant employees heading to work. In the old photos, you can see that the pedestrian alley was decorated with sculptures of young and energetic athletes, volleyball and football players, as well as with colorful flower beds and vases. Sculptures have not made it to this day, but in the autumn, a spontaneous market appears on the boulevard and seasonal fairs are held. The boulevard ends with a round square. It is the main square of the neighborhood, framed by magnificent buildings from old postcards. The broad and sunny highway in front of us is Aleha Kashavoha Street. In those years, the street with a green lane in the middle was almost pedestrian, because there were not so many cars in the capital and people walked quietly along the spacious cobbled pavement. We're slowly moving forward and imagining what was erased by time. Many buildings have preserved interesting architectural elements, stucco molding on balconies, cornices, bay windows, columns, laurel wreaths, turrets, and spires. Just imagine what it all looked like when it was brand new. Some houses were built with a setback, and it was done on purpose so that the front courtyards were formed and the area became more diverse. There is no strict symmetry in the layout, but the rhyming details create the general harmony of this modest avenue. The district has a total of 12 quarters. Previously, the streets were named according to their spirit and purpose: Banya Lane, Plant Ring, Club and Industrial Streets. Now almost all of them bear the names of Soviet heroes. Each place has its own unique spirit. In the courtyard close to the former Pioneer Square, you suddenly find an example of a small sculpture, a thin girl on a kick scooter from the 50s. In another courtyard, there was a real fountain. The planners wanted the residents to hang out together instead of sitting around in their apartments. According to the locals, they love to celebrate weddings and other holidays here. They just brought the tables into the courtyard and had fun. The streets and courtyards around are very cinematic. Shootings are often held there, and these are not only nostalgic films about a provincial town, as one might think. Sometimes even zombie horrors are shot in that area. And for one adventure film, even a real elephant was brought to the neighborhood. There are cinema shots of this exotic animal slowly walking along Chebotarova Street. Nowadays, the neighborhood itself looks quite exotic in comparison with modern metropolitan buildings. It captivates guests and residents with its charm, rhythm, and charisma. This middle-aged area is sometimes proud and serious, sometimes vulnerable and sentimental. And when it's sharing with us its life story, it looks very humane.